Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Done. I want to read you, started something last week, but I want to read you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read it and then we'll get started. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." How many know it's not a good thing to be ignorant? Huh? Now, ignorant's okay. Stupid's a bigger problem. You know, ignorant just means you don't know, you haven't learned. Stupid means, well, we won't even go into that because none of you are that. So, but he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be tricked. I don't want you to not know about these spiritual gifts. Said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He will. Holy Spirit, I give it to you. Now, I want to begin today to talk. We set some foundational work last week. If you weren't here, you ought to get the CD and listen to it. I was just able to say a little bit of it on the broadcast, or go to the website and download it and listen to it. But the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we've talked about the fact that Jesus prayed the prayer that we would all be one, that we'd all be one with God just like He is. He said, you and me, Father, me and you, and them and us and them. And so the whole objective here is God pulling us together as a body. He wants to do big things in your life. He wants to operate through your life. But what I want to do, I'm not going to tell you everything that you need to know about the gifts of the Spirit. So just settle that. Most of you have studied them. I've studied them all my life, all my life with God. I didn't go listen to a teaching to do this. I'm just going to share some things that you can add to it. But I want to take a different approach here, because what I believe God says is, Jesus, before He left, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make it possible for you to come to a place with Father, the same place with Father that I am with Father. He said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulations, you'll have trials, you'll have all kinds of problems, but you can be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I've defeated it for you. I've deprived it of its ability to harm you. He said, you're not only going to be able to do the works that I did, but you're going to be able to do greater works than these. Now see, we have a knowledge of God, and we have a knowledge of His bigness and His power and all of that. We have that concept in our minds, But what I want to do is I want it to begin to get into your spirit. Because I want you to understand that these gifts of the Spirit have been given to enable us. Let me read you real quick, John 16. John 16, he said this. Jesus said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he'll take and take what is mine, and he'll give it to you. He'll declare it to you." Now, what I believe the gifts of the Spirit are, I believe the gifts of the Spirit are the manifestation of what Jesus was saying there. The gifts of the Spirit, there's nine gifts. Put if you've got that, Keith, put that up. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. I've broken this into three. We'll have three. We'll talk about three of them each week for 3 weeks. But nine gifts of the Spirit, there are three revelation gifts. They're the gifts of faith, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Now these revelation gifts give us access to the mind of the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. There's three power gifts: the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles. These three power gifts give us access to the power of God through the Holy Spirit. There's three vocal gifts: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These three vocal gifts give us a direct line of communication with our Father. Now think about this. How powerful can your life be if you have access to the mind of God, you have access to the power of God, and you're able to communicate with Him for Him to teach you and show you how to use all those things and how to bring them into the right order and the right perspective? How powerful can your life be? These gifts aren't given just for somebody that's in the ministry. They're given for everybody. And here's the problem with the body of Christ. We're operating in the world and we're trying to operate with a natural thinking, with an intellect. We're trying to operate, we're trying to combat. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty through God. They're mighty in God." And what we have is we have a mental concept of this. And so we pray and we operate in hopes that God will do something. But now where I'm coming from today, the place that I want to come from is I think that these gifts are the manifestation of everything Jesus promised us. They're God able to work through us. Are you with me? Is that okay so far? I want to point out a couple things in our scripture here. In verse 7, he says that these gifts are given to everyone. Everyone. How many here is an everyone? How many here is a Christian? How many here don't know? Mark, somebody tell Mark he's a Christian. Okay, how many here are Christian? All right, that got everybody's hand if I start picking you out, huh? It says that these gifts are given to everyone to profit everyone else. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, because these gifts aren't given so that Hank's a big shot or so anybody else is a big shot. They are designed so you can profit. They are designed so that they work through me and I'm able to help you. They're designed so that God can work through you and you're able to help those around you. Does that make sense? The first three verses, he says, now I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to understand that these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read this and meditate on it a while, he says, you all were unsaved. You were all Gentiles. You were all led just wherever you were led. You were just led astray. You were just led by these emotions, led by this before you were saved. But now you're saved. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. I don't want you to be ignorant about these. He's given us these gifts, and the Holy Spirit's given them. I want you to understand all these gifts are supernatural gifts. How many know we live in a natural world? We live in a natural body, but we deal with unnatural spirits. We're supposed to walk in this earth. We're supposed to walk in a supernatural realm. That doesn't mean spooky. That doesn't mean your ears fly, spin around. That doesn't mean you get that glassy look in your eye, you know. That doesn't mean that you shoot lightning. That means that you walk with a confidence that you're filled with the Spirit of God and that you know that any one of these gifts will be given when you need it. And you walk with that confidence that God's in you and He's working through you. And you walk in that natural realm, but you're not of this natural realm. You're created of a supernatural. And so you're able to bring the super of God into the natural world and you can walk supernaturally. That just means when the natural doesn't have an answer, God does. And we're supposed to bring the super and add it to the natural. Does that make sense? So all these things. Now, in verse 7, it says that Jesus, the gifts of the Spirit, Jesus needs to be the heart of it. Jesus needs to be the center of everything. I see people using the gifts of the Spirit, and so they seem spiritual. But everything that's done in these are supernatural gifts given by the Holy Ghost, given to each one of us. And the Bible says that they're given as He wills. They're given in verses 12 through 27. We didn't read it, but it says that they're given for the benefit of the body of Christ. We're all members, and these gifts are going to flow through all of us, so that we can use these gifts to help each other. Now, we have access to everything God has through the Holy Spirit. And we can help, we can strengthen, we can encourage each other. These gifts are supernatural. Now, it's not something you think up. It's not something that sounds like a good deal. Verse 11 says that said the Holy Spirit works all these gifts and He gives to each one of us as He wills, or as He sees fit, or as we need it. Now think about that. Isn't that something to think that we could walk and anything that we need, any situation we were in, we can walk through this earth and we can expect, we have a God living on the inside of us, and we can expect Him to provide anything we need when we need it? That's powerful. That's powerful. And he talks about body here. We're a body. We're not just all wild donkeys. We're a body. We're not out here just doing our own thing. We're a body. And I might have something that'll help you. You might have something that'll help me. But God works all this stuff in us so that when it's all said and done, when we learn to operate like He wants us to operate, none of us go without a need. Whether it's emotional, physical, whatever. Are you hearing me? None of us are lack because somebody's able to step up into that gap. When you need a help up, a hand up, there's somebody there to help give you a hand up. When you need a word of encouragement, there's somebody there. Now what I want us to understand is that God wants to be involved in every part of our life. Let me read you out of 2 Corinthians 6 real quick. He's quoting the what God said in the Old Testament in Isaiah. He says, I will dwell in them. This is God. He says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them says that speaks the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now what I want, what God's after in our lives. He's after that relationship. He's after, you know, Jesus said, you'll be able to do what I did, and you'll be able to do even more than I did. How did He say that? Why did He say that? He said, you'll be able to do what... How many know Jesus said, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What Jesus didn't say is, if you've seen me, you've seen all of the Father. Huh? He just said, if you've seen me, you've seen Him. Now, you don't know everything you need to know about Him. You don't know all about Him. And thousands of years from now, we'll still be learning some new things about our Father. You hearing me? But He says, so you're going to be able to do what you saw me do, and you're going to be able to do greater things than these because I'm going to show you more things. Now, I promise you, you've probably never heard this taught like I'm going to speak about it the next few weeks. But if we don't understand that all this book is to help us draw closer to Father and to help us walk and in that relationship, Jim Case said something the other night that stuck with me. He said, I've spent all my life developing a relationship with Father. See, what God's after with you is He says, I want to walk with you. I want to be in you. I want you to be in me. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. You understand what He's saying? I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be so intimately close to me that you're able to pick up from me. And you're able to receive from me. And you're able to give me to everybody you see. Isn't that what Jesus did? Now, I'm not talking about baby Christianity here. I'm talking about... Now, so think about it. If you had access to God's mind and access to His power, and then you had a way to communicate with Him all the time, every day... Don't you? How powerful do you think your life would be? So the three revelation gifts. The first one that we'll talk about is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a supernatural. We're talking about a supernatural knowledge and insight that's given directly to you, directly to me, by the Holy Spirit. The word of knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit transmitting His specific knowledge. What did He say? What did Jesus say in John 16? He said, He's going to tell you not things that he's thought, but he's going to tell you what he hears. Do you think maybe it'd be pretty neat to be hearing what he heard God say? The word of knowledge. Transmitting specific knowledge to you that you have, that you would have no other ability, no other way to get it. A manifestation of the Spirit where God shows you, well, he could show you the condition of things. He could show you the condition of things in your home. He could show you the condition of things in your family. He could show you what's happening in your business. He could show you, are you with me? Now, the word of knowledge, to what the extent most of us think about it, know about it, is when it's used in a service. And I'll just say this, not boastingly because of me, but because of him. But every service, the word of knowledge operates through me. Every service, you don't hear it, but you can. Last Sunday, I was trying to close with a prayer, and it just came up in my spirit, and I said, "Somebody, your back is gonna get, it's getting healed right now. Your back." I had a gentleman call me the other day and said, "Hank, I just want you to know that when you said that, said I've been having some trouble with my back," and he said, "My back's healed now." So I want you to understand that happens, but more times than something like that. I mean, you know, now let's just be honest. If you're human, you're going to make mistakes, and so if you're everything I say, I might think it's a word of knowledge, but it might just be a word of Hank. You have to judge that. How many ever had somebody say, "I got a word for you, brother. I got a word for you, sister." That's fine. Come give me your word. But this is my rule. And if I come and tell you I have a word for you, I usually will say something like, "Now, this needs to bear witness with your spirit." And if it doesn't, then don't receive it all yet. Just set it aside and see if it's God. And if it's not God, then I apologize. See, God doesn't want other people to tell us how to live and what to do. But he will use us to help each other get on track, to help each other, and to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to inspire one another. Are you with me? And God's not going to give me a word to tear you up with. He's not going to give me a word to straighten you out with. A lot of times God will give me a word about you, and I don't know what to do with it, so I don't do anything with it. Sometimes he'll give me a word, but then he'll give me the wisdom of what to do with that word. We'll get to the wisdom in a minute. But I want you to understand we're not talking about natural knowledge here. We're talking about supernatural. And what I want is not so much to focus on the gifts working through the ministry gifts, pastor, prophet, apostle, teacher, evangelist. That's not my goal here. What I want you to understand is that these gifts operate through you every day. And as we talk about them, you'll start thinking, you go, "Well, that's what that was." See, I'm talking about a word of knowledge. Now, it might not always be some big spectacular thing. I told a lady, and I talked a few weeks ago, and she was over here, and God spoke to my heart and said she's going to come out of that wheelchair, and she came by afterwards, and I smiled, and I said, "You know what?" I said, you're going to get up out of that wheelchair." And she said, "I know I am." And well, Rose is sitting in the back now, and she walked in today. She didn't come in her wheelchair. But not only that, God's been able to set her free through that process of a whole bunch of other things in her life that she needed set free from. You see, these things are to benefit us. They're not to hurt us. They're not to be spooky with. They might be big things, but most of the time, they're going to be little subtle things that He speaks to your heart. Do you think maybe it'd be pretty neat if you didn't know what was wrong with your teenagers, but He gave you a word of knowledge and you were able to see into the spirit realm and see what was going on with them? Now, if He does that, don't go jumping, don't go running with the message until He gives you a word of wisdom as what to do with that. Guys, do you think once in a while, if he gave you a word of knowledge that helped you understand your wife and where she was, that'd be a good thing? See, I want us to not rule out the spectacular, because when you start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, people come out of wheelchairs, people get healed, people get blessed, all kinds of things happen. So that's going to happen, but I'm not after emphasizing the spectacular here. I want you to understand who you are. He said, "I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. I'll be your father, and you'll be my son and my daughter." Man, that'll make you square your shoulders off. You might not think I'm anything, Terry, but God, I'm God's son. You hear me? Now, as I spend my life developing this relationship with my Father, I hear Him better. Huh? Word of knowledge. How many think if you were about ready to do the wrong business deal, a word of knowledge might help you? Huh? I've had Him give me a word of knowledge and save my business before. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. Two guys came down here a month or two back. We were having a service. Everybody's down here getting prayed for. And two guys came down, and I walked over, and I just said, "Oh, yo, bless you, boo, 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 boo," you know, and kind of halfway prayed for them. And they went back, and as they walked back up the aisle, the word of knowledge came to me, and he said, "Those two men weren't saved. They came down here to get saved." I said, so then I turned it around, and they came back down and got saved. You think a word of knowledge might be good if you were witnessing to somebody? Do you think a word of knowledge might be good if somebody came to you and said, "Man, I just don't know what to do. My life's messed up"? I just want you to begin to understand that these gifts work and flow through us. I was thinking about this, and I'll say personal things because I want you to understand that it's personal with you. God wants to be personal with you. "Oh God, I just want to be where you are." He says, "Hey, I just want to be where you are." I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, I don't know of anybody that this word of knowledge and word of wisdom flows through any more fluent than Doug Wilkerson. I don't know if you've ever sit in a council, if you ever sit in a counseling session with him, or if you ever sit in his cell group on Thursdays, and I don't mean to puff Doug up, but you know, I'm just trying to say this is how it flows, and he wants to flow it through you. I mean, I just don't go counsel with Doug unless I just really need it, because he just look at you and read your mail. Huh? I'm trying to lighten your load, Doug. Well, you know, but I've watched him. I've sat and I've watched him talk to people and deal with people. And I've watched it when the word of knowledge came to him. And I've also watched him when he didn't do nothing with it because the word of wisdom didn't come. And he didn't have anything to do with it. But God, by his Spirit, what's God after? He's after us all becoming one body. Read that whole chapter and read what he goes into. He's after us all becoming one where we're not arguing and fussing and fighting and we're not pulling against each other, but we're all flowing together and we're helping each other and we're all going after him and he's flowing his gifts through us and we're able to help each other and minister to each other. The word of knowledge. I've got a roll here. Might be a word for somebody else. It might be a word. Might be a word for you. I've had God tell me before, don't do this deal. Don't do business with them. I've had all kinds of things like that happen. And you know, as you learn, as you develop this relationship, you hear clearer. Now, Jim, I was picking on you, but just so nobody nominates you for sainthood. I mean, do you ever think you hear God and it wasn't God? Sure. But how are we going to know if we don't start paying attention and thinking about it? See, he can give you the word to help your kids. He can give you the word to help your wife. He can give you the word to help your husband. He can give you the word to help your friends. Okay? Anyway. And if you're really hungry about these things, you'll start go online and you'll start reading everything you can find on the gifts of the Spirit. Because I'm just hitting them a little bit here, but I'm trying to hit this one area here because I want you to know they operate through you. You don't have to wait till you come to church Sunday for somebody to tell you to get out of your wheelchair. You don't have to wait for somebody to come here for somebody to tell you God's going to bless you financially. You don't have to wait. If you're watching this on TV, you don't have to wait. Well, let's hasten on here. The word of wisdom. I've got to hurry here. The word of wisdom often points to the future. It'll tell you about events that's going to happen. What did Jesus say in John 16? He said, he'll tell you things to come. How many know the word of wisdom? It'd be good to know about some of these things before they happen. Now, you know, sometimes the word of knowledge isn't enough. You get the word of knowledge and it's not enough to solve your problem. You just get the word of knowledge and you know there's a problem. Huh? That's like that, what's that commercial? The guy's in the dentist chair and he says, you got a cavity. Guy's mouth all, he said, okay. He said, well, no, I don't fix cavities. I'm just here to tell you that you got one. Well, sometimes the word of knowledge is that way. I mean, thanks for letting me know I got a problem. But now what do I do with it? The word of wisdom then will tell you. See, it's not enough to know that your teenagers or your kids are having this problem, your wife or your husband. It's not enough to know that, but okay, now, Father, what do I do with this? How do I help them? Maybe it's on the job and you're facing a task that you don't know. The boss has told you something to do and you haven't mentally grown to that place. You don't know how to accomplish that yet. I mean, think maybe a word of wisdom would help you, show you how. I want you to understand, too, that all these gifts, you don't just sit and go, okay, this is the word of knowledge working, this is the word of wisdom working. No, all these gifts work together as he wills, as he sees fit, as he sees that we need them. But you can have a confidence that when you need them, they'll work in your life. The word of wisdom. Sometimes the word of knowledge just isn't enough to solve the problem. So the word of wisdom will give you the ability to be able to properly apply that word of knowledge to the situation. James 1:5 says, Well, I won't read it to you. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Now, I know there's a natural wisdom that we get, but you know, what's he talking about there? He starts off and says, count it all joy when you fall into all these different kind of problems and trials and tribulations. How many of the last trial and problem you fell into, you counted it joy? I'm never real happy when I fall into those. I mean, I by faith call it joy, count it joy, you know. But he's talking about the situations of life. And he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. God, I'm in a mess. Help. I need some wisdom. Well, what's neat about that is because you're usually in the mess because you got yourself in the mess. And he doesn't go, that'll teach you. That's the way we think sometimes. He goes, oh, come here. Come on. This is what happened. This is how you got broke. You weren't paying attention. And you were spending more than you were making. A word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Does that make any sense? How many know it'd be a good idea that when something was about to happen for you to get a word of wisdom before it happened, and then when it happened, you knew how to move right on through it? He didn't say we wouldn't have problems. He said we would have problems, but we could be of good cheer. We could be happy anyway because he overcame them. Okay, Jesus, I need your wisdom now. You know, I've had him tell me about things that were going to happen in the future, but he would tell me the same time how I needed to respond and how I needed to act and what I needed to do. And sometimes it would happen right away. Sometimes it was on down the line, and I wouldn't even remember until I was in the middle of the situation, and it'd come back to me, and I'd start acting like and talking like and doing just like he said, and the old stuff would just go away. See, you're a supernatural being. You're not a natural being. You're a supernatural being. There's a time when you weren't, but there will never be a time again when you're not. You're in this thing for eternity if you got Jesus in your heart. Well, let's move on to discerning of spirits. The Holy Spirit will manifest himself and show you the spirit realm. Now, before we start, this isn't the gift of suspicion. I think he's got a bad spirit. This isn't. He will open up. He will let you see. He will give you knowledge concerning the spirit realm and in dealing with three kinds of spirits. Demonic spirits, angels of God, and human spirits. Okay? And he'll supernaturally give you wisdom, knowledge, and show you how. Now we live in a fallen world. And whether we realize it or not, this world is controlled with demon spirits, with demonic spirits. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers. Are you with me? And so if we're going to combat, we need a little bit of insight. Now, we need a little insider trading, if you will. We got to know a little bit more. And discerning of spirits gives us the ability. Because many times this gift will be used to fully expose what's really going on in your life. What's really operating behind the scene. You think that this is the problem, but then when God opens up and lets you see something, no, This is, there's been times when I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't get my healing. And he would open up and he would let me see some demons of infirmities. And when I knew it was the devil, I was able to do something about it. I was able to take a stand. You know, and most of the time, a real good realm is in the area of our money, our finances, because we're still not convinced God wants us to have plenty. Because we've swallowed that humble pie pill and we're not really convinced that we're supposed to not have any lack, because we think for some reason if I don't have enough, that just humbles me. No, that just gives the devil glory, because he stopped what God's got for you coming to you. And so whenever he lets you see into that spirit realm, sometimes the finances get down in the church, and I have a tendency to just worry and fret and go, oh, you know, like this. But I said, but I've learned to say, no, hold on, God, this is your church. And if the finances are down, there's a reason. And when he lets me see in there, I find out it's the devil that's hindering you. He's working on you so that you can't give. Huh? He's stopping you from doing what God says. Now, when you see into that realm, you're able then to say, no, I take authority over you. You can do that in your own life, by the way. Sometimes, he'll show you what's causing the situation. Sometimes he'll show you into the spirit realm something he doesn't want you to get involved with. I mean, I've walked in places before to minister, and I've walked in, and boy, I just knew in my spirit, and I just said, see y'all later, and I left. There's been other times when this discerning of spirits will show me the spirit. I've come in here before, and God's let me see a spirit that was hovering, that was here. And so then I knew how to begin to minister to you. You don't usually pay attention. You don't usually know it when a demonic spirit's giving you a hard time. You just know you're having a hard time. Are you with me? And that happens big, but I want you to understand that happens little too, because you can for yourself tell when it's him that's doing this, and you can put your foot down. The discerning of spirits. How about the discerning of angels? Hebrews says that the angels said, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? All through time, God's used angels. Huh? They appeared to Daniel. They appeared to all through the Old Testament. They appeared to Daniel. They appeared to Mary. Angel appeared to Joseph. We don't give Joseph enough credit, man. You go through there and read that story and find out how many times the angel talked to Joseph. Get your family and get over there. Get your family and go back there. Get your family and do this. So God has ministering spirits. You know, a lot of folks that say, I saw the Lord, a lot of them, it was an angel that they saw. Angels of God. Real quick here, I don't have time to tell the stories I was going to tell, but real quick, I was got saved, and I second week or so I was saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I really wasn't real sure about that, because everything I'd been taught were tongues were of the devil, and so I was really battling that, and God sent me down during the week and ministered to me and showed me what it was and what he had given me, and so then I had peace with it. Well, me and a guy named Mark Welsh went to a meeting down in Oklahoma in the mountains, and there was like 10,000 people at this meeting, and they camped out and they did all this stuff, and so we're sitting there on the front row. And this guy gets up and he starts talking, and these are all folks that they're from the background that I had come from, and he starts talking and quoting the Bible and saying all this stuff, and then all of a sudden he said, and those tongues, they're of the devil! 2 weeks, been filled with the Holy Ghost, maybe a week. I'm sitting there, and when he does, everybody in there gives a standing ovation, clapping their hands. And except for me and Mark. And Mark looked at me and said, "Do you think they're going to burn us at the stake?" And I looked at him and I said, "I don't care. I'm not standing up." Okay, but here's the story. Man, you talk about confused. You talk about turmoil going on in there. I just knew what I knew, but boy, everything about me was yeah, you believe in a lie. Yeah, all, I mean, man, I'm telling you what, I was shook. And so we leave there and we go over and I'm standing in the line for chow, and there's this guy standing in front of me, and he turns around and he's a big barrel-chested man. And I remember looking up at him, and he had a beard, and I remember looking up at him, and it was like he had a, seemed like he had a white collar on or something. And I remember looking up at him, and he just looked at me and he said, "Don't worry about it. It's okay." And when he said that, peace came. I turned around, looked this way, I turned back, and he wasn't there anymore. Now say whatever you want, but what I needed happened. You know, there's been two times in the service, and I haven't seen him lately, but two times in the service, I've seen an angel. I think it was the same guy sitting in the service. It was times in my life when there was turmoil going on. Been times in my life, several times when I was going through some things and not being sure of myself, somebody would come up to me and they'd say, "Hank, I don't know if anybody else saw it." Matter of fact, one person went and got the video to watch it just to see if they could see it, and they couldn't. Said, "I don't know if anybody saw it," but said, "We saw two or three angels standing behind you," and said they were huge. Now the Bible says that we've entertained God's angels and not been aware of it. You know, but now if you need one, I'm betting he's going to be there. Huh? He might look like a homeless person. He might look like a... Anyway, we won't go. Let's cut that off. But you know, and so sometimes this is manifestations like that, but you know, most of the time, those angels are just ministering in your behalf. Most of the time, it isn't something big and dramatic. Most of the time, they're just behind the scene working for you. You ought to start talking to them too. You ought to start saying, "In Jesus' name, you go cause that finances to come to me. In Jesus' name, you go cause that to come." See, you ought to loose them. In Jesus' name. He said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth would be loosed in heaven." Maybe y'all start binding those demonic spirits and loosen those angelic spirits. Now here's the thing. 2 Corinthians 11 says that the devil can come as an angel of light. So you got demonic spirits and you got God spirits. How many know it'd be good to be able to discern and know the difference? See, a lot of people being deceived because they think the Lord told them something. Can I tell you something? You won't be deceived if you get your heart full of this word. You know the foolproof way is just keep putting the word in there. You'll be able to discern a whole lot easier. Does that make sense? And then sometimes he deals with a human spirit. You ever just walk in on somebody and, boy, you just picked it up, they had a bad spirit. Huh? I mean, I told you, I said, I've walked in some places and picked up on some spirits, said, "Whoa, you don't need to be in here. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here." I've come upon some people that God just said, you know, just shut up. Just don't open the door. Then I've come on some other folks that were being bothered and being troubled, and God would say, you know, that flows through me more, because if I see something that's going on in your life, then I know how to start talking to you. Huh? If I come upon somebody and they're mad, they got a temper, I've come upon people, believe it or not, that didn't like me. I know that's hard to believe, but this is before I changed, maybe. But I found out if I come upon somebody and a spirit of anger is operating through them, and they're mad and they're mean, you don't come at that spirit with the same spirit. You come at it with love. Well, hey, how you doing? I've walked into places, and most of the time, the way it'll happen to me, God will show me where somebody's at before I start talking to them. And so then I just play dumb and just start talking, telling them what they need to hear and telling them what I can tell them that'll pull them closer. Does that make any sense? I'm going to take time. One time I walked into a place of business and a brother that I won't mention his name, because probably some of you probably know who he is. And I considered him as one of my elders, and I walked in there, and he had a bad spirit. He was upset with somebody, and he started to talk about this person, and I mean, it was just poison was spewing out of him, and God let me see this spirit that had a hold of him. Wasn't in him. He just had a hold of him. He's just influencing him. And so under my breath, I just began to bind that spirit. I just began to take authority over that spirit. And as he talked, I just kept, not out loud, I just kept smiling and nodding, but I kept taking authority over that spirit. And about the middle of this conversation, he got confused, and he couldn't think of what he was going to say, and he couldn't remember the rest of the sentence, and he was stuttering, and he was all this and all that, and so finally I just said, "Well, man, I love you, and I've got to get going, but I'll see you later." He called me up later, and he said, "Hank, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened." He said, but while you're there, said something happened. He said, and I couldn't get my thoughts. You see, he thought I brought a bad spirit, and all I did was take authority over a spirit that was causing him trouble. I've done business deals before. Now, I'm trying to just share things. I just want this to be personal with you, because I want you to look in your life and see when things like this have happened to you. And I want you to recognize, as things happen to you in the future, what God's doing. I had a guy come once, and I back in the 80s, I bought a lot of gold and a lot of silver and had a lot of it, and I had accumulated a bunch of coins and different kinds of dollar bills and all that stuff. And I kind of had looked up. I wasn't an expert on it, but I kind of knew what stuff was worth. And when I had a good coin and a good piece, I kind of knew that one was a good one and kind of knew what that was worth. So I called a guy. He called me and said, "You got anything you want to sell?" I said, "Yeah, I got some coins and some bills and some stuff." And he started coming. God said, "You know, this man has a greedy spirit. He's going to try to cheat you." And I said, "Okay." So he comes, and he was a nice guy. I ended up getting him saved right in here, by the way. But he's a nice guy. But he came, and I was watching him, and I just smiled, you know, and I just kept smiling. He'd say, "Now this one," you know, and he'd pick up one, a dime or something that I knew was worth $20, $30, and he said, this is only worth about $5, and he'd put that over here, and he'd write it down. Then he'd pick up something that I knew wasn't even worth a nickel, and he'd say, "Now this one's worth $20, and anyway, long story short, God maneuvered that. I just smiled, and and every once in a while I'd say, no, that one's worth this. And he'd say, "Oh, yeah, you're right," you know. And by the time we got done, he paid me a lot more than my stuff was even worth. Why? Well, because God intervened. Because God intervened. See, so let me ask you this. If God was able to show you this stuff ahead of time, do you think you'd benefit from it? You think it'd help you? Can you see how all these gifts would work together? the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits. And our tendency is to get spooky. Oh, don't go down with them holy rollers. Oh, they're weird. No, it's not so. When he said you're a peculiar people, he didn't mean I want you to be a bunch of weirdos. He said you're different. Why are you different? You're different because I'm in you. And you're not just subject to the natural. Now you have the super to incorporate into the natural. The revelation gifts. Do you see how that they could flow together and work together? How that they could, how that if you had access to what God was thinking, that it might benefit you? Does that make sense? You want me to quit? You're ready for me to quit? I'll quit. Anyway, we'll hit that lightly again next week. But the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Now again, what's God after? God's after bringing us as the body of Christ and letting us walk just like Jesus walked. He didn't tell us we would do what he did in greater things if he wasn't going to equip us and enable us to do them. So just where we are so far, do you think maybe if you had the mind of Christ, the mind of God, if you had access to his thinking, how many think that would benefit you? Okay, so all these three things, and I had a bunch more examples. I just talked too much at the beginning, I guess. But all these things aren't some mysterious, spooky thing. They're just a way that God works through us every day. Every day. So you be expecting it. You come into a situation, expect him to give you a word of knowledge. Hey, a word of knowledge might be something huge. But it might be showing you how to put your kid's swing set together. And I'd really need it when it comes to that kind of stuff, don't you? See, it might be something spectacular, but it might be, you might see angels, but you might not see them. They might just be working for you. But you can walk with a confidence. See, you don't have to be at any spiritual level for this to happen. You just have to be saved. Huh? You just have to be saved. God says now. And if you'll begin to look, you'll find out that these gifts have been working through you. Now that you know what's going on, you'll be paying more attention. I expect one of you, at least one of you, going to be some kind of a business deal that's going to make you more money than you ever dreamed possible. Some of you looking for a customer or a client, and he's going to show you where they are. Huh? Some of you believing for healing and it hadn't seemed to happen in your life, he's going to show you something, give you a word, show you something, a wisdom, and you're going to get up out of your wheelchair too. Whatever your wheelchair can be here, man. That makes sense? Everybody stand. Let's quit. I'm 2 minutes over. So, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's the only prerequisite for this things to work in your life. Now, next week, we're going to talk about access to his power. Okay? Matter of fact, this week, next Sunday, when you somebody here finds yourself sick, don't stay home. You want to come. When you're discouraged, when you're in this mess or that mess, don't stay home. Come, because you'll probably get the word you need to get you out of what you got. The prerequisite is to be saved. How many here are saved? Who here is not saved? If you're not saved, it's just as simple as giving your heart to the Lord. It's just as easy as saying, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to be saved. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. Help me live for you. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I think we've got some that want to be baptized today. And if you need to come for anything, you come. Maybe you just need to be prayed for. We'll anoint you with oil. If you need to be baptized, come over here and we'll have some folks show you how to be baptized. They'll help you. And we've got robes and towels and everything you need. If you need to be saved, you come on down. If you just need somebody to pray with you, you come on down. We're just going to do one verse here. One verse. If you need to come, come.